The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Producer Thim here. You may have noticed we didn't have an episode last week. We said we were going to, and then, you know, we didn't. Funny story about that, though. We did record an episode last week. James even got out of bed. I mean, it took him 2 days, but James got out of bed. We all sat down. We recorded an episode. And then because of some technical stuff beyond any of our control, I swear this one wasn't my fault, we weren't able to publish it. We did get all that resolved, so we're good to go. So without further ado, here is last week's episode.
This is Off Track with Hinch and Rossi.
This is going to be choppy.
Wow. Well, honestly, James, it's not our problem.
That's true. That's fair. That's a great point. It's a great point.
At least I have less than a day to edit. Because somebody, did you oversleep yesterday? What was the deal, James?
Yeah, I sort of forgot. And so, yes, I woke up to those text messages like,
I can't tell you how thrilled I was to not have to do that yesterday. I went right back to sleep.
Perfect.
Well, yes, guys, welcome to another episode of Not Giving a today we're going to talk about Christmas. We're going to talk about how James and Tim and I are yet again all in completely different locations for, you know, whatever reason.
Yeah, we reversed it. I'm the only one in Indianapolis now.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Yeah, you showed up and we got as far away as we possibly could.
You left the country.
Does Canada really count? I mean...
It sure does. It sure does.
I mean, yeah, but it's not like you left the country and went to, I don't know, Zimbabwe.
No, that would be a much longer trip, but I can still say I left the country. And you're in California, which is almost a different country.
But I just feel like there needs to be different levels of, like, when I talk to Kelly, she's like, oh, you're so lucky you have such a, what is her word?
Exotic.
She talks about how exotic she is, and it's like, you're from Canada. No. Like, that's not.
I'm with you on that one. I mean, we're a different country, but I would not call us an exotic country, especially when compared to the United States.
Maybe if she was from Quebec.
I mean, yeah. Then you'd have like an accent, speak a different language. You could claim that a little bit more. But she's from Ajax.
Oh,
she's from Stouffville.
I wonder why Romain didn't move there.
Because, dude, in Quebec, the Quebecois version of French is so different than Parisian French that they, like, legitimately struggle to understand each other. Like, Bourdais used to tell me that when he would go race in Montreal, whether when Champ Car was racing there for F1, that he would speak English.
But was that just a pride thing because he thinks his French is so much better? Like,
do I think he could have gotten by speaking French? Yes. But I guess it was different enough that it annoyed him. So he spoke English instead.
Sounds about right. Okay. So you are in Canada. You went up there for Christmas.
I did.
Family.
Yep. I did.
Was it good? Did you have a great time? Is it snowing?
It's not snowing. It's like... When I was a kid, like, one of the things I always, like, what I wanted for Christmas more than anything was just a white Christmas, right?
For sure.
Because growing up, that's all you knew. And it wasn't probably until, I remember one year in high school, we didn't get snow until like Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Eve it snowed like 2 feet, and we woke up and it was like the best, because not only was snow, it was all fresh, just everything was covered, and it was just beautiful. And I guess like one of my favorite parts about Christmas. And unfortunately, it just hasn't been quite cold enough. We had like a little bit of snow fall, but nothing that stayed and accumulated. So that was one thing that wasn't the best. But other than that, it was great. It's always nice to get up here, to see the family. Becky and I had got a new, we had moved. We have a, you know, a place up here, and we had moved in May technically. But this was the first chance I got to actually stay in our new place. So it's been a lot of
getting like the condo.
I love it. It's great. The location is awesome. Becky's done a great job decorating everything and getting everything up and running.
It seems like you purchased appropriate internet speed.
Yeah, I mean, reasonable internet speed, because it's actually available in this area. Thank you very much. And then, yeah, went to mom's for Christmas. And, you know, it's funny, like, Becky and I were kind of talking about this, right? I mean, the kids are all older now, and Christmas is just different, you know, when you're a kid. It's like such a different experience, right? And because we've got my niece, who's just about to turn 2, I mean, like, she makes Christmas like that kid Christmas again. Like, we kind of got through all of our stuff. I'm like, okay, now let's just watch Kaylee open all her presents and, you know, help build things. And we're running over the house trying to find enough batteries to power everything, you know, and we get mad when it says some assembly required and it takes, you know, a guy with a PhD to figure it out. But it was,
I mean, luckily you guys have one of those.
Yeah. Amazingly. Sorry, we lucked into that.
Somebody with a D-fill.
With a D-fill. Yes. good catch. Good catch. Yeah. So, Becky says hi. So no, it was great. It was great. Alex, how was your Christmas?
My Christmas was, unique. Also no snow. When we left,
but like, aren't you kind of used to that?
I grew up with snow on Christmas for sure.
Oh really? And you're part of California, IA, you have snow on Christmas?
Oh yeah. Like right now, cool. My house, the house I grew up in, is like under 3 feet of snow.
No way. Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So basically it was, Christmas was just, Kelly, myself and the two dogs, which was good. And then we popped down to Florida to do a quick little family get together. And then we are heading to Utah tomorrow, actually. So when this comes out today, to go skiing over New Year's. So that'll be cool. But very low key. Thanksgiving is our family's big holiday. Like Christmas has never really been. It's all been kind of about the individual family groups and not the whole family descending on one house type of thing.
Yeah. I feel like we've talked about that, right? I feel like we've had that conversation that for at least in my experience with Americans, Thanksgiving is kind of the bigger family holiday and Christmas is a little more.
And here's your argument for like why Canadian Thanksgiving makes more sense. You don't need to see everyone again.
Correct.
Like,
yeah, that's just how I wish together. My family did that.
Right. Like, we just all saw each other, ate the meal, had the drinks, did the catch up, played the games, whatever.
Right.
Like, I don't need to do that again.
A month later. Because
frankly, like, for me personally, what am I going to talk to you about? Like, we have a year of things to catch up on, and that's, you know, could be interesting. But like 3.5 weeks, I mean.
Yeah, in the off season. Yeah. Not a,
I just can't
not a
believe
ton.
That noted conversationalist Alex Rossi couldn't come up with something to talk about.
So then you're going to Utah for New Year's to go skiing, which I'm insanely jealous about. Have you been a skier your whole life?
Yeah. Grew up skiing. Ski every year. At least, you know, 3 or 4 days. Usually, you know, my buddy has a house in Colorado, but timing didn't work out this year, so I've never skied Park City, never actually even been to Park City. So we're going to go hang out, check it out. It's going to be a little bit weird because Utah state law requires all bars to close at midnight.
Well, and then they also have like the electronic thing on top of the bottles so that they only pour a certain amount.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. That's okay.
Unless you can order a double. You can't order a double.
You can order a double.
You just flip the bottle back over and two it again.
When I was there, they wouldn't let me.
They wouldn't let you. That's because you had already been overserved.
Right.
Yeah. it's just going to be weird to kind of have a New Year's celebration where it's like literally last call at like 11:45 countdown.
Well, and then, yeah, you have to buy your liquor beforehand, even if you're doing your own thing at a house, because they all close at 9. So you got to. I worked on a movie there.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
but I feel like you'd have your
closed on Sundays.
That's fine.
You'd have your drinks before 9 o'clock if you're celebrating. I'm surprised that they're not going to give like a 1 hour dispensation for New Year's Eve on that rule. That would seem like
So like all of the, you know, you can book tickets to these, whether they're restaurants or bars or whatever. And all of like at the bottom, there's a disclaimer saying, we will be open at midnight, but then immediately after whatever New Year's Eve celebration it is, all guests must exit the building. Like, it's just straight up, get out. So do your celebration, do your cheers, do your kiss or whatever, leave. So you've got like, they probably did a 10-minute dispensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is I mean, obviously not this particular rule, but this in general is kind of why. So our New Year's plans is we go up to our cottage, about 2 hours north of Toronto, and we just disappear. Normally it's just buried under 3 feet of snow and the lake's frozen, and we just bring a bunch of food, a bunch of booze, dogs, and just stay in sweatpants and keep the fire going for, you know, 4 days straight. And it all stemmed from like 1 year buying a ticket to one of these, you know, one of these New Year's Eve parties somewhere in Toronto, and everybody gets dressed up and you go downtown, and it's just like the worst night of your life because it's so busy. You can't get cabs. There's lines everywhere. Everybody has too much to drink. Someone gets in a fight or loses a phone or whatever, whatever. And it's just like the worst time.
No, it's
and
like so the biggest amateur night of the year.
Honestly, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. But here's the thing. I've celebrated New Year's Eve every single year except for going into 2020 and 2021, which I did at my house.
I see where you're getting at.
I'm not saying that I contributed to the world, but I'm just saying that, like, for me personally, not great years. So let's just go back to normal and let's go have a miserable night, spend far too much money on the miserable night. But maybe like 22 will be cool. I don't know.
Maybe it'll be worth it. I respect that opinion. I think
noted
that's
conversationalist and world saver, Alex Rossi.
You know what?
Or like destroyer. You know, you can also blame him for it. Okay, well, that's good. So that's good. The only good news about having like a midnight restriction on that is like, if you're planning on skiing the next day, it's probably good to have somebody limiting what time you're staying up till and how much you're drinking.
James, it's not like they turn the power off and make you go to bed.
Oh, I assume that was how it worked in Utah.
Yeah, actually, that wouldn't surprise me in Utah. All light bulbs must be out by 12:30.
Anyways, it'll be cool. They're getting like over a foot of snow a day. It'll be pretty awesome.
That'd be sweet. All right, Timbo, how was your Xmas, and what are your New Year's Eve plans?
It was kind of the normal thing. Just hung out with family. Came back to Indianapolis. I'm here for a little bit. And then you guys immediately left as soon as I got in town. So that was...
well, you know.
That felt personal. no, and then New Year's Eve is my daughter's birthday. So I miss out on amateur night, luckily. So we're just going to hang out. And let her stay up till midnight, watch the ball drop, and then... go to bed. I'm going to have a very Utah New Year's Eve.
Well, do you like, do you
cheat? For the viewers that can't watch this because Tim still hasn't got this on.
Yeah, I started talking and you guys immediately.
Immediately we both put ourselves on mute.
Yeah, I was talking to nobody.
We could hear you. We could hear. It's like we planned that.
Yeah. So go on, James. Sorry. What was your question?
No, I was gonna say, do you celebrate? And so, like, if I were you, James, tell your story, and then disappear. No, if I was you, I would do what I know. Oh wait, you're in Indianapolis, though. Oh, never mind. I was gonna say I've got friends in California that tell me what they do is they follow along to like the New Year's, like the New Year's Eve thing in New York.
I've heard of that.
And do the ball drop thing at 9 o'clock, and everybody's home by 10 and in bed by 11, and life's great. I'm like, that actually sounds kind of sweet.
Yeah.
I've, since Hazel's been born, I've been in Indianapolis for every New Year's Eve because her mom's also from Noblesville, so we cut back. And
how old is she?
She'll be 8, which is crazy to me.
That is wild, man.
I don't know if I was in California if I do that. So we have a tradition where I like to toss her in the air right at midnight. And since she was born on New Year's Eve, like it wasn't a toss when she was born. I just lifted her in the air, but it's been every year.
It's going to get to the point where.
Yeah, that's going to be a backbreaking sort of tradition.
And even if you're strong enough, I can't wait for you to try and toss your 14-year-old daughter in the air. She's going to be like, Dad.
I think at that point she could just jump.
Pretty sure she could jump now.
Yeah, she could probably. Yeah, when I don't know, right? A Cat's in the Cradle is about to play, but I think I would still stick to the actual midnight then. I think I don't know.
Okay,
it feels like cheating. Although you guys know my my off season holiday parties, I have done a New Year's Eve party in like July one year.
Yeah, and I assume you celebrate.
No, we found like a compilation video of all of the ball drops from 1970 on. So we just had that going, and then everybody would do a cheers every 10 minutes when a new ball would drop.
That's actually kind of funny. If you were for those of you who are wondering what the soundtrack that you're hearing is, due to all of our unique circumstances and not normal locations, we're all dealing with some background noise. Tim may be a little more than the rest of us, and Alex wanted to contribute, so some water bottles banging on his hotel room desk.
Right. So we covered where we are. I mean, did Santa give you guys anything cool worth talking about? I mean, I got a dank ass RC car.
Oh, dude, I saw that on Instagram. That thing is wild. Is
I
that
cannot
like a,
wait.
Like a Traxxas truck or something?
Yeah, I cannot wait for you to play with it because it is. It's like it's an 8th scale, so like
it's huge,
15 pounds. It's got probably like 5-6 inches of suspension travel. It's got full LED light bars. Like it's all wheel drive. It's pretty awesome.
It's got LED light bars.
Oh yeah.
In case you want to go driving around in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
It seems like a risky maneuver for an RC car.
I mean, it's bright lights.
Yeah, but like, they're not shining in the direction that you're looking. They're shining in the direction that the car's going.
Yeah, no, fully unnecessary.
You can still see where it is.
Yeah. I guess the one I'm really worried about is when it's just coming back towards you, all you're going to see is the light and none of the objects it's about to hit, potentially.
Fair. Yes.
Or like, all of a sudden the lights disappear, you're like, oh, that must be a wall.
Well, when you put it like that,
all right,
maybe you shouldn't drive it.
You have more experience driving off-road trucks at night than I do, so I'll let you do the night shift.
Right. That's how that works. So I got that, which was really cool. James, do you remember when we were over at Michael's house and he had that like really cool ice ball
machine thing? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Like, the lesser version of it because Michael's was very unnecessary. I mean, very cool, but like very unnecessary.
What are we talking about?
So it's this metal press. It takes a square, you know, you can freeze a, like a
cube. The cube.
Yeah. And it presses it into a perfect sphere just with like weight and the metal like melts the ice.
And it condenses it too. So it's like a super dense ball of ice. So that way it like doesn't melt
very
as fast.
Cool.
And
yeah,
it's pretty cool. Cause like, I don't know if you've ever bought one of the trays to try to make the spheres. The molds, like
they always have like the rim.
And then there's like always an air bubble at top, but it's never like a proper sphere. Like it gets the job done right, but it doesn't look quite as cool. This one like literally takes it in this massive press machine thing and pops out a absolutely perfect sphere. It is pretty neat.
Man, it is very clear that there's no racing to talk about.
Well, what did you get for Christmas, Tim?
I mean, other than the mount, not too much.
Okay. What did you get for Christmas, James?
Well, for, I mean, Becky and I, so I guess the one part of the story that I didn't tell was that my brother-in-law, Evan, he lives out in Victoria, British Columbia.
And, everybody's favorite Dalton, yeah.
Everybody's favorite yeah. Dalton. And the reason I married into the family.
Yeah.
And Evan just moved into a new house, and we hadn't been out to visit him in quite a while. So Becky and I's, we kind of just, we didn't do gifts for each other this year, where gifts was just to go out and you know, the trip out to go visit Evan. Because, you know, my birthday is the beginning of December, and her birthday is the beginning of January. And so, like, that's a lot of time to be buying a lot of gifts and stuff. So we just sort
very
of...
Very expensive.
Very expensive couple months. And then, and so yeah, so we went out, that was kind of our gift. And honestly, it was great. We went out there for, I think, like 5 days. And I don't know if you've, have you ever been to Victoria? It's nope. It's a really cool little city, man. Beautiful little place. Evan just moved into this nice new house. And
we he built it, right?
It was like a reno. Like it was he just kind of, he gutted a house and redid everything. And,
but did he like enjoy the process of like,
no, I don't think so.
Things and managing it. Yeah. Cause it's like, you have two people, right? Like you talk to Joseph and he's like,
yeah,
I'm ready to do the next one. And I was like, really? Like that seems like a lot, but yeah.
It's funny because like when Joseph was building that house, like I remember talking to him about how like, late it was, or how, you know, much this cost, or how this, that kind of, and, but at the same time, he's like, but I love it. And like when other friends have been building houses, they're just, all they talk about is how it's the worst experience in the world. And every renovation that I've witnessed from like a close enough, like inner circle area has just been horrendous. And I think like,
well, yeah, your parents' house.
Parent. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. That was,
and that was the second time we've done that. Oh man, that was the second time, because when we first moved into that house, when I was like 10, right? We bought this house. Mom wanted to redo some stuff, which was everything. And so it's funny because my brother and I was having this conversation over Christmas. He doesn't remember this, which means that his like child mind has blocked the memory out because it was borderline traumatic. So We like moved in June, but our house was under construction. So we moved up to the cottage. We spent the summer at the cottage, which was just awesome. But then it was like, well, school was starting and we needed to come back and the house wasn't done. So we had to come live in a hotel by our new house, going to a new school, living out of a Holiday Inn for like 5 weeks, which I'm not going to lie, was not like the most fun thing I've ever done. And then my mom just like pushed these guys to get the house to a point where we could at least live in it. So that way we weren't in the hotel anymore. We could go to school, whatever, whatever. So when we moved in, the bedrooms were all finished. The laundry room had the only working sink. And then we had one bathroom that had a toilet and a shower. So the laundry room was the laundry room, the kitchen, and like where you did your brush your teeth and stuff. Then we had one toilet and one shower, five people. And like, I'm like, the kitchen was still like no cupboards, no countertops, no appliances. Like the house was like bare. And so that's how we lived until everything got together. And it was quite a unique experience. And my brother like doesn't really remember this, which is kind of funny. Like our first Christmas there, our couch was still wrapped in saran wrap from the old house. And we just had a Christmas tree sitting in the middle of a bare living room because there was nothing there. So Evan was kind of in that phase, right? Like it was done enough to move in. There was still some work. Cause like, I mean, he started doing this right at the start of everything going sideways. Right. So everything got delayed and materials and people and whatever, whatever. So I think he enjoyed being able to like create something and have some input on where stuff was going to go and all the rest of it.
But sure. Yeah,
I don't think he's in the market to buy and reno another house anytime soon. In fact,
yeah,
he joked about selling it before he even moved in.
It's like that, what they always say about a boat. Your happiest days owning a boat are when you buy it and when you sell it.
Yeah, the day
you I'm buy not it there you yet. Like, I'm still pretty happy that I bought a boat.
Yeah, your boat does well. Your boat.
My boat's pretty cool.
It offers a reasonable amount of enjoyment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fortunately, it's a new boat, so I haven't had to like fix anything yet. Knock on wood.
Right.
So, like,
I'll take care of that.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems fine.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
All right, so we're getting to the end of the year. Two pretty years in a row. What are you guys looking forward to most for 2022?
People.
Next question.
I'm looking forward to people stopping saying 2022 is 2022, like 2020 as well, like 2020 again. Have you not seen that going around like Instagram or whatever?
No,
I haven't.
I have.
But I just love how, remember at the end of last year, we were like, can't get any worse.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not.
I don't know that, to be fair, I don't think it got worse.
No, it wasn't worse.
It just didn't get better.
No, it did get better. I think it's just, it's not back to, I think everyone was like, we're just going to be back to whatever normal is.
Yeah, I think the issue is still the same. I think the quality of everyday life has improved as we've learned to navigate this. And that might be unique to the United States. I don't know. I obviously can't speak for other places, but like where our little bubble in Indiana, I would say it's definitely a step in the right direction. I'm definitely not going to make any hopes or predictions for next year, because that just seems like a risky maneuver at this point. But it's funny, man. I was thinking the other day, do you remember when lockdown started, right? So we were all in St. Pete. Friday, first practice was about to start, and the whole world shuts down. We all fly home, and, you know, our first week back, we're in the gym, and the gym's like, hey, we've got to shut down. So everybody grabs some equipment and, you know, and we decided to be COVID couples. You, me, Becky, and Kelly were. So you set up some stuff in your home gym in the basement, and I would go over to your house every morning and train. And I remember sitting there, and we were like, I mean, we'll be back on track by April, right? And then I remember I said, I was like, man, I heard some guy say that, like, this could last all the way to September. And you were like, no, that can't be real, can it? And something happened. I flashed back to that conversation. I was like, man, if you could have just had future us drop into the gym and be like, boys, sit down. Sit down, because I have got a story for you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I remember kind of along that same line, I was on the flight down to Tampa. And I was with Doug Bresnahan, who's the VP of marketing. We're not VP of marketing, but he's VP of he's a big sponsor guy. He's very important. He's very important in the Andretti Autosport organization in terms of helping us all go racing. And him and I were sitting next to each other, and he was like, "Man, are you seeing this news out of Australia with the F1 race?" And like that was getting shut down. And it was like, "Man, that's crazy. Like, thank God we're in America, and thank God, you know, we're insulated from that, and IndyCar is what it is and all this stuff." And we were just like, "Yeah, we're so fortunate, you know, that we're just never gonna have to deal with something like that." 24 hours later, here we are.
Yeah, I do remember that March talking to a friend who was going to get married in October. And she was like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to have to like push the wedding back." I was like, "No, we'll be past that by then." Not only were we not, the next October there was questions about when she rescheduled it.
Yeah, we have friends that planned they purposely, I think, planned a wedding for this New Year's out of the country, right? Down in Guatemala. And that seemed like a great idea until when the latest variant started picking up and like everyone was worried about travel bans kicking in again. So it was like
maybe about
capacity in the States,
part.
But
yeah. They just don't want anybody at the wedding.
Smart. I wish I had thought of that.
Well, James, we do have something else because even though we recorded a day before the announcement came out, you decided not to talk about it on the show. You got a new job. You're no longer fun employed.
I mean, I guess that's technically true.
Does this mean we can start using the NBC chimes?
Yeah, I still don't think. I mean, I worked for them in 2020, and you wanted them, and that's not how that worked. Very, very excited for my return, so to speak, to the NBC broadcasting team. I'm gonna be,
but in a much cooler role. You're not like a pick guy. You're like,
yeah.
You're like one of the guys.
One of the guys up in the booth.
Yet.
No, I haven't done that. I've been working on some catchy catchphrases. I'm not doing great so far. Next week, I'll bring my list of catchphrases, and we can talk about them. And
I think we should have people suggest some. I think tweet us your best hinge catchphrase.
I would love that. I'll also,
and by next week, you mean in 2 weeks, because
well, we got to recap New Year's.
Okay. Good.
Good.
45 minutes. Good. Yeah.
Can we? Is there any form of racing that we can watch to talk about?
No, but I mean, IMSA's starting soon. And okay. I'll also be in the booth for the IMSA broadcast. Well, I mean, the Roar is in like 24 days or something.
That's four podcasts.
Is it 24? Or is the race in 24 days?
No,
Roar.
The Roar's
in 24 days. Yeah, we'll figure it out. World Juniors hockey, which is the best part of this time of year.
Speaking of IMSA,
yeah.
Do you know what your schedule is? Do you like have to do like 1 to 5 a.m.?
Oh, I don't know that yet. No.
Oh.
So I'll be in the booth for all the IMSA races that don't conflict with IndyCar races. Mm. And then there's some other ones that are like Detroit and Long Beach where it's both. And so
what about Sebring in Texas?
No, I think they just want me at Texas for that one. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But that's going to be an interesting. Have we talked about that yet? I think we did, right?
Not really. Not at length. We just kind of talked about how there's a conflict.
Yeah, I know you and I have talked about this, but I don't know if anyone else knows about this. So, you know, traditionally, they always try to make the schedule work that the really big endurance races, the four endurance cup events, don't clash with any other series because drivers come from other series, obviously. And those four being the Daytona 24, the Sebring 12 hour, the 6 hours at the Glen, and then Petit Le Mans at the end of the year. And this year, just because of TV stuff and different issues, Sebring and Texas, with Texas's new date in March, actually conflict. But they conflict on weekends and not actually on days, kind of, sort of. So Texas is a 2-day show, Saturday, Sunday. And Sebring is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday program. So you could technically do Sebring Saturday night and then fly to Texas and be there for the race on Sunday, which is what some guys are going to try to do. Now, we practice and qualify in the IndyCars on the Saturday. And so what I believe, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think what they're doing is they're giving drivers that are running Sebring the opportunity to practice on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the team, then they'll fly to Sebring, do the race. And then the rest of the teams will practice on Saturday. I think they're going to aim for a similar time of day to try to keep as even as possible. And then everyone's going to qualify Sunday morning, Parc Fermé, and then throw the cars into the race. So it's a bit of a unique format, but it's cool to see, you know, how the series are trying to work together as much as possible to help each other out and make it all work. I think it's awesome that they're able to do that.
It sounds like a mess.
It is.
I'm glad I'm not doing it.
I'm glad I am not doing it. I am thrilled that I don't have to go through that.
I also don't like
the whole Parc Fermé between qualifying and racing.
That is interesting to hear from your perspective. Please tell us why.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like for qualifying, you're supposed to maximize for one or two laps to get the best performance out of the car. So you're not going to do a race trim. It doesn't make sense to me.
Especially because now, I mean, which is good. Like, we're getting a downforce increase for Texas, which is super necessary. But now qualifying is purely only going to be car speed. Like, it's, which is fine, I guess. But, like, there's not going to be any type of real skill other than shortening the distance over the two laps of Texas qualifying.
The other thing that does is it does favor the order a little bit more even than it already did, right? Because every car that runs is laying down a little bit more rubber, and so the further you go in, the better, in theory, the car should run. So it does, like, normally you could have a guy that might run early, but, like, really swings for the fences on downforce or an aggressive mechanical setup and set a good time. But now, it's going to be tough to...
Well, I guess, and I just don't understand the purpose of it. Like, I don't understand... Okay, it has these negatives, but what's the positive?
Honestly, the only positive they do is they do it so that the crews don't have to work hard to turn around cars between qualifying and the race.
I guess that shouldn't be discounted, but...
No.
Also, isn't that part of racing?
Right, so I think the issue for this particular situation, right? Man, guys, I can't believe we actually found a racing thing to talk about. This is great. So... the issue for this particular situation is, so, like, this concept was sort of born out of necessity during COVID when we were doing one-day shows, right? So when you practice, qualify, and race all on the same day, having to turn the cars into a qualifying car after, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, be at the track by 6, work on the cars, do the first practice at 9, turn the cars around for qualifying, qualify at noonish, one-ish, whatever, two-ish, call it, and then you're racing again by 5-6 o'clock. That is a lot of back and forth and a lot of work for the crews in one relatively condensed period of time. So they came up with the idea of Parc Fermé after qualifying, when you were qualifying on the same day, which I get it. That totally makes sense. I guess the difficult part about this one is the only reason qualifying is happening on race day is because they're making these concessions for the drivers that want to run Sebring. Right. So, I mean, what I think should have been done, because it would have been cool anyway, it would have just been a cooler story, is, fine, these teams can practice on Friday. We'll give you that. But qualifying happens on Saturday. And those five cars, I think it's five drivers maybe that are running it, five or six guys, they just start from the back. And you've got to choose, like, what's more important to you, doing the Sebring 12 hours or doing the race to Texas? I don't know, because again, now you sort of changed the show a little bit and made it so that we do have the Parc Fermé on Sunday, which kind of makes qualifying a little less of an event. But, you know, I get it. They're trying to be accommodating, and my approach is a little more of a jackass approach, but...
Yeah, but that's because you're a jackass.
I mean, fundamentally.
Well, that's... I don't like it. But I understand.
To Alex's earlier point, they don't tell us the schedule for the Daytona 24 rotation until closer to. But I'm also like the new guy on the show. I'm like the lowest guy on the totem pole. So I do fully expect to be pulling a couple of graveyard stints during the race.
Well,
which is
because
fun.
Of their quota to have one Canadian, I mean, they were pretty limited in options. Once they got rid of Paul.
That is true. That is true. It's between me and Justin Trudeau and Justin Bieber. And both of those Justins
both
have
those
jobs.
Have other jobs, yeah.
Right. So.
All right. Well.
Which means there's a sale on the Fun Employment merchandise on shop.hinchtown.com.
Yeah, that was maybe a little premature.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, things move quick.
Man, we're going to have even less to talk about next week.
That's my.
We'll figure it out.
Well, maybe we'll have a guest. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we'll guest it up. Let's guest it up.
Who should we have as guests, guys? Why don't we leave it up to our amazing fan base?
Well, because it's really it's not up to who we want; it's who will say yes.
No. We can have.
No, but we can ask.
We can have a hit list, right?
All
who
right,
would
so
you guys?
We're putting it
down. Okay, Tim. Why don't you just take it away?
Sorry.
No.
Well, I was just going to say we're now asking for two things. We're asking for Hinch's new catchphrase.
Well, let's do this first. The guest thing first. So for this week, let's do the guest suggestions and get those out to us, you know, by the end of the weekend so that Tim's got
people that 24
hours
that we know
to make this work. Actually, yeah. Just give us some ideas and we'll add them to the list. And over the course of the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, as we're doing this show every single week for the next 3 to 5 years, we'll try and get through all these people. Man, Tim's crying, I think, in his hands. He's very upset.
All right. See you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. Keep in contact with us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @AskOffTrack. Or you can follow us individually. We're @Hinchtown and @AlexanderRossi. If you want to follow Thim, though we have no idea why you would, he's @TheTimDurham. We really need to get that changed to @ProducerThim. The music you heard today is by Ryan Dan of Holland Patton Public Library. Off Track with Hinch and Rossi is produced by Tim Durham. And by that I mean Thim.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.